Your next production's going to be Crazy. It's a new play by Brendan Murphy, and you're bringing it to the Mac for 3 weeks coming up towards the end of May. Do you want to give us a wee bit about the premise of the show?
Yes, it's about three people who live in a house together, and the central character would be a woman called Ruby, who is unlucky in love and is in search of a man, and she's also obsessed with the 1950s singer Patsy Cline. She leads her life through her. She's guided by Patsy Cline. She's got this big giant photograph of Patsy Cline in her living room and sits and sings with her every night and all this crying on, which apparently there's a lot of women do of all ages. They connect to Patsy Cline in a way that very few other singers have a connection. But in her house, she has two other rather, maybe you might call them eccentric characters. One is the guy who owns the house, and he is secretly in love with her. And his task, and throughout the whole play, is to get her to recognise this. And her task throughout the play is to find a man. And they end up going on internet dating sites, and her two housemates help her to do all this. The other guy, Eddie, is a sort of bit of a ducker and diver, who's always making a mess of things and getting in the way of Gary and Ruby getting together. So he's just like a magpie who comes in from the street and messes things up.
So just a three-hander?
Just a three-hander. And it's a constant search for her to get a man on the internet. And she goes out on these dates and meets basically perverts and all sorts of crazy nutcases. When all along, there's a true love waiting for her in the house she's living in. So that's basically the premise of the story. Loads of Patsy Cline songs. It's almost like a girl's night out with lots of singing. We've a couple of really good singers. I mean, Marty McGuire used to sing in a band. Marty plays Eddie, and Kieran Nolan plays Gary. Caroline Kern of Maggie Muff fame from 50 Shades Red, Red and Blue plays is Ruby. Caroline's a lovely singer, and Marty McGuire's a brilliant singer. So we have lots of. Unfortunately, Kieran sounds like a crow, same as me.
As a bit of theatre, it's entertainment.
It's a comedy. It's a comedy, straight out. And it's about that. It's about fun and a good night out, and also the whole Patsy Cline and music thing thrown in, and a wee sort of intriguing storyline of a triangle of people who have a dysfunctional relationship set up between the three of them.
In terms of small plays, seem to be very kind of current at the moment. I guess it's very commercial because you can tour with
economic necessities these days.
It's driving the industry, is it?
It is. It really is. I mean, I remember when there was an interest in my work from different theatres, and they would say to me, "Martin, give me a 400, no more than a 400." I said, "What's all that? We can't pay any more than 400. And I end up, now that I produce plays, I end up saying that to people like Brendan Murphy and other people who write for me, if you give me a 600 or 700, I won't be able to do it.
Is there something also that populist stuff tends to be fairly raucous, fairly sexy, fairly in your face? It's not too serious, it's not too... And that the audiences seem to find Belfast for that?
Oh, and there's probably two or three types of different theatre. For instance, I run two companies. I've got a company called Green Shoot Productions, which is not for profit, and that's where I do the plays that I think are strong social and political comment or content. My last play was My English Tongue, My Irish Heart, which I wrote and directed. Very strong play about immigration themes. But GBL Productions is the other company I run, and that's purely for entertainment, for people to have a good night out at the theatre. So this play, Crazy, is a comedy about a woman who's looking for love and is obsessed with Patsy Cline, and it's right in that whole a good night out category.
And people should connect with that. You were fairly outspoken last year about kind of elitist theatre's ability to kind of bring in working class audiences and stuff. Was it an uncomfortable conversation to talk to the Mac about bringing your show there when you had criticised them?
It's been incredibly uncomfortable with the Mac from the very start. Because I would like to think that a new theatre that opens up in Belfast City Centre should be a theatre that straight away should have a programming that attracts the widest possible. I mean, the Belfast Telegraph leaders in their editorial one time said that I wanted a working class theatre. Let me clear this up straight away. I do not want a working class theatre. I want the theatre that's accessible to all. All. A-L-L. And that means the working classes as well. But unfortunately, I thought the Max programme initially was aimed at excluding those communities, particularly the communities that are adjacent geographically to the Mac. York Road, New Lodge Road, Lower Shankill, Lower Falls. I mean, if I was on that theatre, I'd be directly making contact with those communities to see what they wanted, getting theatre work from them. We're putting playwrights in there, actors, writers. None of that has happened or did happen. And so what has happened is that since that initial Rave of the Mac, I have had two or three productions on there. And it's an uncomfortable relationship, which I would rather not have. I would like to have a theatre that welcomes me and the work that I bring, both the Green Shoot social and political work and the GBL More Entertainment Factor. And in fairness, they have had those shows in the last couple of years, and I'm delighted about that. But I kind of feel that we have foisted that on them rather than their programming allowing for that or reaching out for that at the start.
And you're pretty sure that this kind of play will bring in the kind of audiences of all? Or do you think it will it be swung towards certain demographics?
I don't care who comes to see it when I say I don't care, I want all people to like a good night out at the theatre. I love a good night at the theatre. I love seeing an author. I've just seen Arthur Miller in the West End, the new Dutch director guys over the bridge, one of my favourite plays. I love that. And then the next night I went and seen the Kinks Sunday afternoon, and we got entertained with all the Kinks songs from the 60s. Nothing better. So I like the theatre to be like that too, to swing around all over the place, because there's room for everything. So for this play, I'd like everybody to come along. I mean, there's Patsy Cline fans of all ages, from all demographics, right across the board. And we've got a first-class cast. We've got a fantastically experienced comedic, a cast that have great comic timing. It's very hard, Alan. Over the years, I've experienced actors for 30 years. A lot of actors don't have comic timing. You've got to teach it to them. And luckily, in this play, well, not luckily, we set out to get three actors that we knew we wouldn't have that struggle with them, that they would have that comic timing. And most of the time, they have it.
So we're sitting here in the rehearsal space, and one of the actors is over eating his lunch, and we'll get the last barbed comment, and we'll take his revenge later on. But, I mean, Chris, there's about 2 weeks, just probably under 2 weeks, before you take it onto the stage.
Yes, terrifyingly under 2 weeks.
The 26th of May in the Mac.
Yes.
People should book their tickets if they want a good night out and some Patsy Cline to hum along on the way home.
Yeah, well, what's happening now is that what's happening in the theatre now is with the economic situation. I mean, they'll all tell you this, the Opera House, the Lyric, and all the venues, and the West End as well. People are booking later and later all the time. They're working out what they're going to do with whatever money they have. But the bookings in the last week have just shot up, and the bookings are really building up for crazy. So we're expecting really, really good crowds.
This isn't the only play that you'll be putting on over the next couple of months. I mean, GBA, you've got quite a lot of stuff coming up in different theatres.
Yes. Well, what I would say about this is we've got a small office of about two or three part-timers, and myself and Joe Ray, who were kind of full-time at this all the time. And between Green Shoot Productions, who share the office for us, and GBL, we do seven or eight productions of theatre a year. And that's a high turnout.
So you've always got two or three things.
We work extremely hard in that office, and there's always things on the go. Like at the minute, for instance, we've just finished My English Tongue, Marries Hard for Green Shoot Productions. Straight into, I'd opened on a Saturday, and on the Monday, I'm straight into rehearsals for Crazy for GBL Productions. I'm also working on a new draft of a play that Brendan Murphy's doing called My Two Sore Legs, which is going to the Edinburgh Festival for Green Shoot Productions. It was part of the Flesh and Blood trilogy at the Opera House last year. We've plucked that out as a fantastic piece, just extended from 45 minutes to an hour. Brendan's meeting her next Wednesday night to talk about the rewrite for that. Then on top of that, GBL's putting out a revival, a regional tour of 50 Shades of Red, White and Blue. Then I'm also working with Grahams and McKee to develop a follow-up to The History of Troubles According to My Dad.
I was
going to
say, is the original According to My Dad going to come back? Did you do another revival?
No, I think we'll put it to bed now. Oh, I mean, it's quite extraordinary. I mean, that play was had an extraordinary life of its own. I think we revived it about 10 times, which, you know, is amazing for any play within Northern Ireland. But we're working on a very exciting new follow-up to it, which will be announcing shortly. It's got an underground opera house. And then of course, we with the franchise for the Waterfront Hall pantomime. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do that every year. So it's non-stop in our office, you know.
A lot of the stuff's kind of quite Northern Ireland specific. At least, you know, a lot of it works really well here with the humour.
Yes.
Does it translate as well when you take it to London or Edinburgh? Or, I mean, some of your stuff's probably gone to New York and things as well. Is there a whole kind of loss in translation that happens that half the gags they just don't get?
Yeah, well, every play is different.
The fact they haven't got it. You know?
Yes, every play is different, and some plays transfer easier than others. In my own work, I kind of like very specifically tend to try and connect into a specific Northern Ireland audience. It's what I do. I'm not excited by an audience in Belgium watching one of my plays. I couldn't give two tosses if one of my plays go on in Belgium or doesn't go on, or whether I love it or don't like it. It just doesn't float my boat. But if Charlie Duffy, who you went to school with me in Barnegiga, came out of the Opera House and says, "Martin, I love that play," I go home on a high. Mm-hmm. You know, or if I think we read a play about a community, or, you know, we're involved in a community project and makes an impact there, I like all that. It's a big flaw and fault in my character as a playwright that I don't aim for universal playwriting, you know, but it's not what I'm interested in. Now, having said that, there's loads of plays that we do that transfer well. Like, we did Chronicles of Long Cash, which I wrote about the history of Long Cash, and we've done that all over the place. And it's done brilliant everywhere. I mean, a play has a great reaction. We've done it the 10 Days of an Island Festival in Australia, Tasmania. We did it for a month at the Edinburgh Festival to, like, hugely international audiences from all over the world. Went down a storm. It was a hit of the festival that year. Sold out and all the rest of it. People like Alan Rickman came backstage. The guy Thomas, the comedian. Loads of celebrities came back and congratulated the audience. So, and that's done England, Scotland, Wales, toured and all the rest of it. So transferred very well. Brendan Murphy's play, Two Sore Legs, about her growing up in a particular type of family situation in Ballymurphy, I also think has an international capacity, a universal message, a universal family theme, and that's why we're taking it to the Edinburgh Festival, and I hope to take it further later on. So they're all different. And even any play that comes from, that has an Irish production that travels, even if it's a Dublin production, you take it to New York, you're going to lose 10% of its humour, mm-hmm. and if it travels. If a New York play comes to Belfast, it's going to lose 10% of its humour. That's just who we are. Mm-hmm. The cultures and humours are different.
Do we need to try and get our playwrights and our actors and our plays? I mean, it's
out there.
Out there is a bit of kind of exporting Northern Ireland to the rest of the world.
Yes, very much so. I mean, I'm a great believer of it. I mean, this is the problem.
From the British Council or from anybody else to try and spread your
absolutely. Like, I have to say this, and this is a wee bit of a bugbear of mine who has travelled around quite a bit to the various festivals, but I've been to the Edinburgh Festival, the New York First Irish Festival, the Brighton Festival and so on. In Culture Ireland, the Republic of Ireland's culture department, in the last 15 years has been sensational. The amount of money they have had to bring Republic of Ireland product all around the world is amazing. They have also helped out Northern companies. They helped out, helped us to go to Australia. But when you go to the Edinburgh Festival, for instance, they have a big launch of their own, a big lavish reception where all their works are put out there and publicised and promoted. And coming from Belfast, with some other people from Belfast, we were left standing with our arms at both length, feeling a wee bit, you know, the poor man's son. And I just think that the Arts Council and British Council, the Northern Ireland wing, should really, they do help, and they've done things, and the Arts Council helped us to go to New York as well. There is an Arts Council funder for international travel, but I think the City Council, the British Council and Arts Council should get together and really start to promote Northern Irish work abroad, because as I said earlier, Alan, I do think Northern Irish theatre punches well above its weight. I remember one time about 3 years ago when there was two or three plays. We had Hurricane by Richard Dormer. We had our play, Chronicles of Long Kish. We had Mojo Mickey Bo from Owen McCaffrey. These are plays that are of the highest standard and would slot into any festival or anywhere in the world, or play any city in the world, and they come from Belfast. So there's lots of really, really good product comes out of Belfast, and it's just a pity we don't, at the moment, we don't have the focus and the resources to give it that springboard and then onto an international platform.
Just to finish, I mean, there's a populist argument that says, you know, if the arts isn't commercial, then it shouldn't be, shouldn't receive extra funding. You know, if you can't write something that's popular enough to fill a theatre or to go to a festival, then, you know, that's kind of too bad.
Yes.
You would probably disagree with that.
I mean, I disagree with that with every bone in my body. Like, there's, for instance, there's examples now where it's actually proven beyond all doubt where productions have emerged in the National Theatre or the RSC or the Royal Court, and they've gone on to huge international recognition, and they wouldn't have happened if they hadn't had that subsidy to support it. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, War Horse, Jerusalem by your man, it's very popular. There's quite a number of shows now which are proven that unless they did get the subsidy and the support base in the subsidised theatre, they wouldn't have seen the light of day.
All the best for the play.
Thank you very much, Alan. Thank you.